deal.
So basically, this NFL, this NFC South thing, we're just going to laugh at the Falcons for 5 minutes?
Yes. What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jason, again this week. This will be my last hosting duties, as Jeff will be back next week. But, wow. So, a quarter way through the season, through what was viewed as the toughest stretch of the season for the Saints, they managed to go 3-1, including, you know, two and a half games without Breeze, which is pretty incredible. You factor in the records of the four teams that we played outside of the games we played them in, and I think they're all 10-2. And you've basically got probably four playoff teams. I mean, Houston could be debatable. I was really hoping they would have beaten Carolina yesterday. But getting through this stretch, 3-1, is pretty incredible. So we'll dive into the game. We'll look at your tweets. We'll debut a little new segment, kind of a variation on another one. We'll do a reach around the NFC South, and then we'll get to pick'ems. So with me being the host, we've got another special guest this week, Mr. James Baker from the UK Saints podcast. James, how you doing?
I'm very well, Jason. Very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I didn't say it earlier. I don't have a number. I decided to get a little glass of wine to celebrate, but it was a late night last night, so I will not be drinking during the show today. So where are you at? Oh, wild turkey. Holy, and he's got the bottle of wild turkey here. Wow.
Yeah, no, it's obviously the time difference. It's just gone 11 p.m. here, so I've got to be a bit careful. I've got to get up for work in the morning, but, you know, it's rude not to be a guest on your podcast and not at least have one drink.
Yeah, and yeah, it's far cry from our crossover show in the middle of the day in the afternoon, so.
I still laugh when I watch that back now.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, when I was scared when I was editing because, you know, I didn't remember the last probably 30 minutes, but it wasn't as bad as I thought, and I laughed more than I thought I would. So
yeah, it was a good show. It was a good show. The second half was a bit of a shambles, but no, it was good fun.
Yeah. So, all right. So with the pleasantries out the way, we will move into the game recap. So we'll start off. You know, there's a lot of chatter before the game about how many tickets were on the market, how many Cowboys fans were in New Orleans. You know, I think maybe ESPN early estimated that there would be maybe 50-50 split. You know, being at the game, I mean, I didn't think it would be 50-50, but I knew there were a lot of Cowboys fans. But you know, for teams like the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Raiders, even when Denver was here a couple years ago, there were a lot of fans. But at the game, it didn't feel like anything you know, out of the ordinary. Sure, there were a lot of fans, but I'd say maybe 15 to 20%, maybe, Cowboy fans.
Yeah, I mean, we just watching it on TV, you don't really get a sense of what's going on in the crowd. I mean, when the Saints fans were making noise on third down and when they made a big play, it did sound like a normal Saints home game. I mean, he said the Cowboys are one of the teams that do tend to travel quite well. I mean, even when they've come over to play a game in London, they bring a lot of fans, even all the way over here. So
yeah, and there are a lot, still a lot of Cowboy fans in Louisiana, you know, from back in the day, since the Cowboys have a lot more history than the Saints did, you know, for a long time. But yeah, it really wasn't out of the ordinary. The Dome, I thought, got very loud. I mean, it's a really intense game. I mean, it's so far two games in the Dome, and each one has been incredibly, incredibly nerve-wracking. So I'm ready for an easier game at home, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure it is going to be an easier game this Sunday with Tampa, because they seem to have hit a bit of form. But I think with Winston at quarterback, you never can be sure which Tampa Bay are going to turn up. And I suppose when you look back to the first game of last season, it was, you know, we don't want a repeat of that.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But getting into this game, got really just a defensive struggle, intense game. Although I felt like the Saints really controlled the game. I mean, they controlled the time of possession, you know, controlled the ball. They held Zeke to only 39 yards rushing, which continues our streak of not allowing a 100-yard rusher since, I think, dating back to 2017.
Yeah, which for the Saints, you don't expect a stat like that on defense. I mean, okay, the defense has improved the last 2 years, but even so, that's, you know, when we think about who we've played against and some of the running backs we've come up against, that's really impressive. And last night, the defensive line just dominated the line of scrimmage. They could not get anything going in the running game whatsoever. And if they can't get the running game going, that then limits their attack. Dak Prescott's got to stay in the pocket as a pocket passer. You know, he runs a lot from play action, and they just couldn't get it going because the Saints shut the run game down.
Yeah, big time. And you look at last week, both Zeke and Pollard both rushed over 100 yards in their game last week. Now, you know, one of the things about Dallas and some of these other previously undefeated teams was that they hadn't played anybody. I mean, they played some bad, bad teams to get to their 3-0, and they ran into a good defense. And I mean, the defense balled out, played so well. Lattimore had his best game of the season.
He probably listened to Ben on our podcast last week. I don't know if you heard it, but he was a bit critical of the way Lattimore's played, and quite rightly, he's not been good so far this season. But last night, he played as well as he did last night during his rookie season. And he seems to be the type of player that plays better when he's against better players. He always seems to play well against Julio Jones and things like that. And against Amari Cooper last night, he just completely blanketed him. I think two catches, seven targets.
I thought he might have had maybe three or four catches, but it was only for maybe like 40 or 50 yards. That's it, you know.
Yeah. No. So Lattimore was super impressive last night. But for me, the best player on the defense for us last night was Von Bell.
Yeah.
He's really playing his way into a big payday this offseason, be it with us or somewhere else.
Yeah, he you know, we've got a couple of guys like that that we're going to have to make some tough decisions. You know, we got Von Bell, you got David Onyemata. I mean, he had a great game last night too. But the defense, like I said, beginning of the season, the defense was going to have to win us games, and this is now two games in a row where the defense basically won the game for us. The offense moved the ball, but then got bogged down in the red zone. And you know, I know a lot of people are being critical of Teddy, and yeah, look, he didn't play great. The sack at the end, you know, the one thing you can't do was take a sack, and he had the sack. But I felt like we could never get going because of all the offensive line penalties last night. I mean, you can't start drives first and 20. Even with Breeze, it's going to be tough. And Dallas does have a good defense.
Yeah, I mean, there's 2 weeks in a row now where it seemed, especially in the first half, that every time we had a positive play, a flag was thrown and it was being brought back. I mean, I think McCoy had two penalties. Armstead didn't play well last night at all, I don't think. Robert Quinn beat him up quite badly. Ramczyk got caught. In fact, I think it was only Andras Peat who didn't get penalised last night, which is a miracle.
Yeah.
Which is a miracle, so.
No, I know Pete got beat on a couple other plays, but yeah, I mean it was it really just hurt, really, really hurts to have that. And that's two straight weeks with some offensive line penalties. And I don't think you can fairly judge Teddy fully, with all that going on. I mean, if the line holds and you play a normal offense, can get into a nice rhythm. I think it's going to be different. I mean, you punch it in once or twice, and the game's effectively over.
Yeah, I mean, we need Teddy Bridgewater to not lose us any games until Breeze is back. That is his job. Do not be the reason we lose games. He doesn't, at the moment, he doesn't have to be the player that wins us a game. I mean, I'd go so far as to say that last week it was Kamara and probably Thomas Morstead that won us the game last week. And this week it was the defense. He just needs to play mistake-free football. Get us in scoring positions. We've got the playmakers to score the points. Okay, we didn't score a touchdown yesterday, but we scored enough because the defense was playing so well. And if he can continue to do that until Breeze is back, probably after the bye, I think is probably a fair, maybe before.
I would say no later than the bye, but apparently during the broadcast last night, they were talking about, the technology that Breeze, had in the recovery. And as intense as Breeze is, it sounds like he may even be back sooner than that.
Yeah, the sideline reporter last night, I can't remember her name,
Is that Tafoya? Yeah.
Michelle Tafoya said that Breeze was aiming for playing in the Cardinals game week eight.
Okay, I think that's the week right before the bye.
Yeah, it's the week before the bye. But if we getting ahead of ourselves, touching wood here, if we can get to that point only losing one or two games, so lose one more game between now and then. Breeze probably doesn't need to play that game and can take the extra week and come back for the Falcons the week after the bye. If we can
Yeah.
go into that game, if we can go into that game 6-2, you'd take that, wouldn't you?
Oh, 100%. Remember, the second Breeze went down, we were all praying. Just get us to 4-4. Just go 3-3 and get us to 4-4. And now that you've beaten Seattle on the road, now that you've beaten Dallas here, like I said last week with Mike, it just totally resets what's possible now. And I mean, it does kind of reset your expectations now because I think all Saints fans would have taken 3-3 without Breeze. And now if we go 3-3, it's an incredible disappointment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've still got a couple of tough games to come. Is it Chicago in 2 weeks?
At Chicago, Mitch Trubisky got injured, but they may be better with Chase Daniel, at quarterback. That defense is still wreaking havoc. And then we go to Jacksonville and play the legend of Gardner Minshew.
Minshew.
right?
Yeah. That bubble's got to burst at some point, right?
You would think, but also, I mean, Leonard Fournette went nuts yesterday with 200 yards rushing. But you got to think with the way our defense has played, he ain't gonna come close to that against us. So that should help.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I think, what is it? It's Tampa this week at home, then two games on the road, and then
Right.
Arizona at home.
Yeah. Tampa, Jacksonville, Chicago, and Arizona.
So 3-1 now. Give me 6-2 at the Cardinals game, and I will be ecstatic
Yep.
because after the bye, Breeze back fit. Is there a game there that we should lose? I don't think there is. Falcons are a mess. Carolina are going to play us tough. Tennessee away. I mean, I don't want to say we can go and get the same record we had last year, but 6-2 when Breeze comes back, then 13-3 is in play.
It's definitely in play. Yeah, I mean, the Tennessee game, there may be some cold weather because it's right before Christmas and it's going to be outdoors. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, that seems like the toughest games are now out of the way already.
Yeah, four playoff teams from last year. You'd have taken 3-1 even with Breeze in the starting lineup. So to do it without him is special.
Yeah. So another thing last night, which was, just kind of proved the worth and the contract that we gave to Will Lutz. Solid 4-for-4. you know, he shows up, he hops on the field, and there's no question the confidence that we have that he's going to make him. And in a game like last night, you know, where we couldn't punch it in, I mean, we needed every one of those field goals.
Yeah, I think there was an interview with Michael Thomas after the game where he said, when Lutz goes on for a field goal, he said, the next thing, we just know that we're going to be kicking the ball off. You know, he has missed this year, I know, but it's just so automatic. And, you know, he is up there with Justin Tucker and the best kickers in the NFL, if not higher up. You know, and we've got superior special teams across the board now. We've got one of the best punters in the NFL, one of the best kickers in the NFL, Deontay Harris, who looks like he could score every time he touches the ball. You know, we don't give up punt return yards or kick return yards. It's nice to see.
Yeah. I mean, Harris had another couple of good returns last night, and it's nice where you have the. It's not just you're going to catch. You know, our guy's going to catch it and go 5 yards, and that's it. I mean, it seemed to be the case for the last few years. We actually have a dynamic player back there. Overall, tough game, hard-fought game. You know, clearly we still have some issues to work on offense. Got to stop the penalties. I did think it was hilarious. Some Cowboy fans on Twitter were complaining about the refs, and I'm like, well, wait a second. They only had maybe two or three penalties called on them. I think we had eight or nine. One of the big ones in the game was the non-call when Teddy slid, and the defender, I mean, he hit him in the helmet. And they called the exact same thing against Von Bell early in the game. And to not call that, you know, they call that, we get a fresh set of downs. We're right there inside the five. And you got to think we'll probably punch it in.
Yeah. I mean, there were lots of keep thinking and talking about the referees and how badly they are for the Saints. But, you know, I mean, there was that. There was Teron Armstead got called, Ramchek got caught for holding on Robert Quinn at one point. And then on the very next drive, Tyron Smith literally strangled Trey Hendrickson, literally strangled him and actually injured him whilst he was doing it. He injured his neck. No flag. Obviously, there was the Von Bell roughing the passer that they didn't get for Jalen Smith. There was a pass interference call on Eli Apple that was nonsense. Mm-hmm. If the referees are going to be bad, you want them to be bad for both teams, and it just doesn't seem to be that at the moment. I mean, we got lucky with the Zeke Elliott fumble. I mean, I don't know what kind of view you would have had. You were in the stadium. Yeah,
I might have been. That was towards the end of the first half. I think I was down. I was down. I like to kind of get a beer and use the bathroom before before the end of the first half, before the crowd gets crazy. So I completely. All I did was I heard the crowd cheer when they went for it, and I guess didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first camera angle they show you. It looked like his elbow hit the floor before the ball came out, but for some reason, the replay that they showed the refs didn't show that. So they couldn't really overturn it. So, you know, we did get lucky on one call, but, you know, on the balance of things, we're just getting more penalties, more bad decisions than any team at the moment.
Yeah, and a couple of those too, where it's third down, you know, the defense makes a good play, you get them off the field, and nope, here comes the flag, keeps Dallas's drive alive, and it's just brutal. It's frustrating in the stands too, because you put all the effort into it. You're there. You stop them. You're excited, and then it's just nope, Dallas ball again. So
yeah.
Well, at least we had one game last week where we didn't get fucked by the refs, but the streak ended at one.
Well, it was interesting, and I don't know if you were already at the stadium, but the Detroit Kansas City game was the same crew that reffed the Saints Rams game. And Kerryon Johnson basically fumbled the ball trying to stretch to get in the end zone to score a touchdown, and the ball was knocked out. And it looked as though the play was dead. And then all of a sudden, Breland from the Chiefs just picks the ball up and runs it 100 yards back. And funnily enough, the referees didn't blow the whistle. you know. And then when they reviewed it, it was fine, and it was a touchdown for Kansas. So,
well, now I think you're going to see that for every play now, after we got screwed, because at worst comes to worst, if it's a turnover or a scoring play like that, it's they're always going to review it anyway. So all these plays, they're just going to let go, and figure if it's wrong, they'll catch it on the replay now.
Yeah, which makes it even more frustrating that they didn't do that against the Rams. Because, momentum in the game and,
Big time. Anyway, big time.
So we've talked about that one enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, great, good, great game atmosphere, great win. I always like to get a win against the Cowboys and send all their fans home not happy. That's always fun. So,
yeah. Well, here's an interesting one for you. You wouldn't have heard this. You were obviously at the game. Chris Collinsworth made a statement in the first half on the broadcast where he said that a lot of Saints fans, when the Saints were bad in the 80s and 90s, chose to support the Cowboys instead of the Saints and have only come back to support the Saints since the Saints started playing well again. Obviously, you wouldn't have heard that because you were at the game, but I'd be interested to know what your thoughts on that are.
I believe it 100%. I mean, there are a lot of Saints fans who have always been Saints fans, but there were, back then, especially, look, the Saints were bad for a long time. They had a couple of good years with Mora and everybody got excited, but Dallas just has so much more history. And look, people like winners. And we were bad for so long. I mean, like Renee's brother, he's a Steelers fan because he grew up in the 70s. The Saints sucked, so he just watched the Steelers, win all that. So I believe it 100%. And now that we've been good for, coming on 14 years now, people have come back because we are a good franchise now. Mm. And we've built that. But I do agree. Back then, like, there are a lot of Cowboys fans around here, a lot.
Yeah.
So I definitely think there's truth to that.
Okay.
So, all right. Moving along. We will first let's do a little around the NFC South. We'll save the best for last. So let's start off with the two teams that got wins this week, kind of surprisingly. We'll start with Carolina and Houston. I was really hoping that Houston was going to beat Carolina this week. I know Allen has played better than Cam. And I mean, look, we've all acknowledged Cam has been garbage for the last, for this year and even dating back to last year. And I was kind of disappointed that he got injured and they brought in a replacement. But I mean, it's not like Kyle Allen's great, but he does well enough. And I guess, when you can feed McCaffrey 35 times a game, you can pull it out. And Houston's offensive line, even after trading for Laremy Tunsil, is just still terrible. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're talking about the NFC South, but if the Texans had an offensive line, they would be a dangerous team. If they were able to give Deshaun Watson time to pick the passes to his receivers, they'd be dangerous. But I'm probably more concerned about Carolina than I am any of the other teams in the NFC South. They've got a good defense. They are better with Kyle Allen as quarterback than they would be Cam Newton as quarterback. And they've got, in Christian McCaffrey, the closest player to Alvin Kamara in the NFL. I mean, putting my Saints bias aside, because I am obviously biased towards the Saints, I would rather have Kamara than McCaffrey. But you can't argue that McCaffrey is having a really, really good season.
Monstrous. The potential drawback to that is that they're giving him so many touches. Like, at some point, you think he's probably going to wear it out. I mean, it's not like he's a big guy either. He's going to wear it out at the end of the season if they keep it up like this with him.
Yeah, I mean, Kamara will put up those numbers if we give him 35 touches a game. I mean, you saw what he did in Seattle last week. He carried the Saints to that win last week. But we don't need to, because we've got Michael Thomas. We've got Michael Thomas, basically. And Taysom Hill. We've got Taysom Hill, too.
That's right. And hopefully when Drew gets back, Hill will get a few more touches.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to not play him as much. Now he is officially the backup quarterback, because if Teddy gets injured,
yeah. So, So Carolina, you know, Carolina's looking at 2-2. I mean, you know, yeah, if you're going to worry about a team, it would be them because of defense, because they do have weapons. They got a couple of decent receivers. They got McCaffrey. You just got to hope that Allen's at some point he starts making mistakes. Or maybe McCaffrey wears down. But so they're now at 2-2, a game behind us, tied with Tampa, who that has yesterday's Tampa Rams game was the craziest outcome maybe of the season so far. I mean, I just assumed, look, going to LA, the Rams actually do play really well at home. Tampa traveling all the way across, Winston being very inconsistent. Now, I know they had a good game last week, but it was against a bad team. But to go into L.A. and put up 55 points, I mean, I know not all of it was them, but when I got to the Dome, so we kind of arrived a little late. Like we caught the end of the first of the noon game, so I saw that the Kansas City-Detroit game. We finally got to the Dome. I think we were still like maybe an hour before kickoff, and as we walk in, there's a spot where they have a TV, and we actually caught the Rams – Tampa game, and when I saw it, like, I couldn't believe the score. I mean, I know Tampa got off to a big lead, but I couldn't believe it was 48-40 at that point when we saw it. So, and with maybe, I don't know, 2.5-3 minutes to go, so we stopped and watched it, and we saw the last play where they had the strip sack and return it and put the game away. But man, I mean, Tampa, I mean, Chris Godwin had a crazy game. Mike Evans had a good game. They ran the ball well, which is shocking against the Rams. A defense. It was really, really stunning to see against that defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously that game started at 9:20 in the evening here, so the late games, unless the Saints are playing, I kind of watch till halftime and then call it a night. It got to 21. Was it 21-0? I think at one point to the Bucks. And it was just like, well, okay, well, I still think that the Rams are going to come back because it's Tampa, you know. They're a very flaky team, aren't they? No lead is safe. You saw what they did against the Giants last week, missing the last minute chip shot field goal. But to wake up this morning and see that it was 55-41 or whatever the score was, just unbelievable. I mean, we went to LA and scored 9 points. I mean, I know Breeze got injured, but even with Breeze, we weren't going to score 55 points. Not even that day.
No, we're going to sniff 55 points. It was just insane. And I mean, Jared Goff, yeah, look, at the end of the day, he threw for 500 yards, threw a couple touchdowns, but I mean, three interceptions, he had the fumble recovery, and he's just got that big extension. So, I mean, you got to think, I mean, he progressed, you know, under McVay the last couple of years, but it seems like he's regressed a little bit, and you got to think, I mean, I don't think there's any way they can easily move that contract. I mean, if this is what he is, it's good for the rest of the NFC if Goff isn't great.
I think what's costing them is the way they run the offense, which is McVay talking to Goff through the headset. So he doesn't allow Goff to read the defense and make the plays. Because he can talk to him with up to 10 seconds left on the play clock, I think, and then you have to stop talking. But what defenses are doing now is they're not showing what they're going to do until that clock gets down to 10 seconds. Then they line up, and Goff just doesn't know what to do. You can see him looking, and he just looks lost, completely, completely lost. And, you know, that type of offense is only going to take you so far.
Yeah, and an offense they can't run. I mean, Gurley only had, 20-something yards rushing, yeah. I think. So, you know, I mean, they paid Gurley big bucks. They paid Goff big bucks. I mean, they doled out a lot of contract dollars. And so, you know, everybody's like, oh, before this week, everybody just assumed, hey, Cowboys and the Rams are the two best teams, and they both went down this week. So, you know, and that does give me hope, you know, if we can somehow be 6-2 when Breeze gets back, yes, Abai is still in play for the Saints. You know,
definitely.
I mean, you look at the NFC and, you know, you got some teams with good records, but it's not like the AFC, you've got New England and Kansas City and kind of everybody else. And you can clearly see those are the two best teams. I mean, in the NFC, you can make an argument for four or five teams being the best team in the conference right now. So there's still a lot to shake out here.
I know it's only week 4, but we are the second seed currently behind the 49ers. 49ers are the only unbeaten team.
That's because they didn't play this week.
Yeah.
You know? So then we'll get to the final team in the NFC South. Wow.
I mean, where do you start?
I'll start with all the pictures that were coming out right before kickoff when you've got a half-empty Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Well, that's every week.
You're right. Yeah, I can't be surprised. That's every single week. I mean, what a pathetic franchise. What a pathetic franchise, a pathetic fan base. It's unreal. And it's not – look, Tennessee is a decent team. But, I mean, to do what they did against Atlanta, I mean, they just – you know, the first time checking the scoreboard, I'm like, holy shit, 7-0. Holy shit, 14-0. Wow. Just right off the bat in Atlanta. It's not like it was in Tennessee. This was in Atlanta.
No, the Falcons are broken still from 28-3. You know, they've not recovered. They haven't recovered from that. Something's going on there at the moment with Dan Quinn. I mean, he has taken over defensive play calling duties, I think. Mm-hmm. That's his thing. He was the defensive coordinator for the Seahawks with the Legion of Boom and things like that and their defense. But the defense, oh, it's I mean, I know they lost Keanu Neal, but that's just one player. They've still got some, I mean, Deion Jones and a couple of their cornerbacks are pretty good. They just can't stop anything. They can't stop anything. You know, when they come up against a really good offense, which I think they've got a couple of really good teams coming to play them in the next couple of weeks, they could be torched, and it'll be brilliant.
Yeah. Look, I'm gonna enjoy every second of the Falcons' collapse. And yeah, like I mean, at the time of that Super Bowl, I said it: they're never gonna recover from this. You know, it's impossible. It's impossible to recover from something like that. You know, you're going on 3 years later, and they still have it. Yeah. You know, I mean, one of the first touchdowns Tennessee scored, the receiver comes to the middle, and then he cuts outside, and I don't know what the cornerback was doing, and that may have been Trufant, and like supposedly Trufant's a decent quarterback. I mean, he looked completely lost. He got totally burned, and it's great. And at the end of the day, you know, Matty Shitpants is going to put up his garbage time stats at the end, so it'll look respectable. But I mean, like they're down from the get go, you know. In a lot of their games, like instantly, they're down 7-0, 10-0, 14-0 from the get go, and they're always playing comeback. And it couldn't happen to a better franchise. It's a pleasure to watch.
Well, they invested heavily in the offensive line in the draft, didn't they? Two first round picks, and their offensive line has been terrible.
I think I want to say one of the guys got hurt, but still. You know, and then there was a play, I think it was maybe fourth down, and Ryan kind of scrambled out to the right, and he thought he was going to run it for a second. And, you know, it's Matt Ryan. It's not a running quarterback, and he just got – it wasn't even close. He just got close.
So, you love to see it. You love to see it.
So that's one good thing. Looks like we're going to have another year of feasting on Falcons misery all
yeah.
year. And it's fantastic. Absolutely yeah, fantastic.
But overall, we should still win the South.
We should. I mean, year. You know, that was another reason I really wanted Houston to win because, God, if Houston wins now, Carolina's 1-3, so they're two games back, and we get to play Tampa this week. So, you know, we beat Tampa this week. You know, you really get a little separation this early in the season, which is really big.
Yeah.
So, all right, now with our NFC South – chat out of the way, we will get to look at them tweets. All right, so this was new. So Jeff tweeted it out and put my name in here. So and it looks like he put your name out here. So now I'm getting all the notifications for tweets, and I'm not used to getting. So I'll have to scroll through them. I did get one last night, very early, from Paul Perrette. He mentioned, he went to go hug his wife after the Saints win, and he got called for holding.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. God, so much holding last night.
Have you got a tumbleweed soundbite?
So, all right. Let's see. So we did have a lot of tweets. I got a lot of tweets today from your friend Ash. A lot of tweets.
Yeah. I asked him to stop spamming my Twitter at one point.
Right. Which is fine that he wants to start that little hashtag. It'll flare up like hemorrhoids for about 5 minutes and then it'll just go away. His hashtag is bring back Damon. No, he's like, where's Damon? Well, here's the thing. Damon quit. You know? Damon quit. Before he came back on after the crossover. You know, I didn't remember all of our argument at the end, but I know I said fuck him a lot of times. And, you know, I was maybe
once or twice.
You know, I mean, I was maybe out of line a little bit, but, you know, I mean, we know who Damon is at this point. He can be a stubborn asshole. And, look, he said he quit. We asked him, hey, we heard you quit. No response. So, you know, he quit his Saints season tickets. He quit the podcast. So, you know, he's got a girlfriend now and she's occupying all his time. So, so he can have fun with that, you know, and, you know, like a lot of my anger was just the fact that he can't admit that he lost a simple $30 bet to me. Like, just admit you lost. He couldn't do it. You know, that's one of the worst things to me is somebody who makes a bet with you and just refuses to acknowledge or pay up. You know, just
you do a bet and then if you lose, you take it like a man and you pay your dues.
Right. You don't try to come up with an excuse as that wasn't the real bet or
no.
Right. You know. So all right, hold on 1 second. Jack, settle down, bud. Sorry. All right. So So this one is from G La Belle Lettre or at Turner Knows. Is Cook coming along or still where a high profile free agent sign he needs to be after 4 games?
I think there's some mitigation with Cook at the moment in the fact that he hasn't been playing with Breeze, but he's just not a factor in the offense at the moment. Not a factor at all. And that is concerning considering that we had high hopes for him to really be the difference maker on the offense this year. Now, whether that's by design and Peyton is keeping him back and doesn't want to unleash him early in the season, who knows? But the early signs are not good.
No, I mean, I know he did get a couple looks last night. I know he made at least one catch last night, but it definitely hasn't been what we envisioned. I mean, no. Eerily similar to Kobe Fleener, you know, comes in with all this hype. You expect a lot from him and just a dud. So, and the problem is, I mean, with all of our receivers banged up, our receiver core is incredibly thin and we need a guy like Cook. You know, we signed him to help us out and we're really going to need that production. So maybe it is just a thing of maybe once Breeze comes back, it'll be better, but you know, still a little early, but definitely very, very concerning.
Worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah. So then we have a couple from Neil. One of them is about the Collinsworth comment about the Cowboys, you know, from back in the day, which we discussed. And then he also says, after last night, has the Teddy bandwagon started to fill up?
Looking on Twitter and Facebook, there are still people who just will not accept him as the quarterback of the Saints. They just won't. No matter what he does, he can't win. He can't win.
Well, he did. He won twice, and he can't win. He can't win.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, there are fans that just will not give him any credit whatsoever. You know, I mean, I've put comments on things today, and it's like, what more do you want him to do? He's made his first 2 starts in 3 years, and the Saints have gone to Seattle and won, and then beat the Cowboys at home. But what else could he do?
Yeah, and even his interception last night. I mean, that's a ball Ginn should have had. You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. It's a little high. And look, there is work to be done. It's not like he's perfect, but he's not losing the game for you. You know, I mean, obviously a lot of people were upset at the sack he took last night at the end, which, I mean, that is the one play you kind of can't take. But, you know, like I said earlier, the offensive line didn't do him any favors last night. You know, he's going up against two really, really good defenses too. So I mean, you have to factor that in. And there's so many factors, the opponents, the fact that everybody has been spoiled on Breeze for so long. Not scoring a touchdown last night. I mean, sure, I get it, but a tough matchup, offensive line issues, and he's done well enough to win, and they've won.
Yep.
No, he hasn't lost.
Like I said before, he just needs to be the reason. He just needs to not be the reason we lose games.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's it. So, simple as that. Until Breeze comes back, it's all we need.
And so far, 2-0.
Yeah.
So, all right, our next tweet comes from Davis Douglas. So he says, who contributed the most to the win? Lutz, Bell, Lattimore, or the D-line?
In terms of points, it's clearly Will Lutz, you know, 4 from 4 for field goals. But for me, it's the D-line. They just, I mean, the Cowboys supposedly have the best offensive line in football. But last night, they just got completely dominated. I mean, yeah. Jordan had a big game. Davenport, he didn't get a sack again, but he's making plays. Then you had Onyemata and Malcolm Brown, and then even obviously Sheldon Rankin's back, which is huge if he is back and 100% fit. So yeah, the defensive line was the main reason why we won last night.
Yeah, and it was honestly a little frustrating, you know, to listen to some podcasts today, read a couple of articles, and you know, I feel like the D line played so well, and all the commentary was more about, oh well, Dallas struggled. You know, everything was about Dallas this, Dallas struggled. No, our defensive line kicked their ass last night.
Yep.
Just completely dominated the game. And, you know, look, I get it. It's the Saints defense. I guess it's hard for national media to talk about them because we've been, even though the last 3 years we've been very good, but obviously before that, so many bad defenses here. But, I mean, if we've got a defensive line that's playing like this for the rest of the year, I mean, you know, good luck, you know, like all these teams. Good luck running against us.
Yeah. You know,
I'd like to see you try.
Teams are going to have to – well, I think they did towards the end of last season, and they just abandoned the run completely because they knew they couldn't run. So that's when it – obviously the focus then turns to the secondary, which is up and down at the moment, but was very much up yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So – all right, our next tweet. I think this is a new one from Saints55. Which starter on the defense and offense is the weakest link, in your opinion? Who would you replace if you could decide to upgrade one position? Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about it on defense. That's really, really tough. I mean, I would almost say...
AJ Klein.
I was going to say, the linebacker is not named DeMario Davis.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I think even though AJ Klein had a really good game last night, you know, mm-hmm. if Anzalone was fit and not injured, he would be playing instead of AJ Klein, wouldn't he? But, you know, I don't think on the defense that would be the only place I'd look to upgrade. I can't think of anywhere else.
No, I mean, yeah, because like Davenport has been playing pretty well. So, you know, we may not necessarily have the stacks to show it. They are doing things on defense that you may not see in the stat sheet. Mm. And yeah, that's really the only spot I could think of on the defense. On the offensive side of the ball,
it's easy on the offense.
Yeah.
Wide receiver.
Yep. Do you think? Now I know we reworked somebody's contract this past week. Warford, right, to free up some space. Do you think we go out and get a receiver? Maybe try to trade with somebody.
I think we have to.
I mean, yeah, if we're going all in for a Super Bowl, which we should, I mean, I think we are going to have to make a move. Now, some people are saying AJ Green. I mean, I don't know. It seems like his injury is worse than originally estimated.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing tonight either.
I mean, maybe you could get a guy like Emmanuel Sanders over in Denver. I mean, now Denver is 0-4.
Yeah, they may go into sell mode. There's somebody I've always wanted the Saints to try and sign for the last couple of years, and they never have. And I don't know how possible it is, but I would love to get Larry Fitzgerald from the Cardinals.
If he'd be willing to leave, I know he seems to be, you know, Arizona for life and is really, you know, really big in the community. But if he wants one last shot at winning, you could do a lot worse than him.
Yeah, no, I think he would be ideal coming out of the slot for the Saints, but I don't know how realistic. I don't know how realistic that is, but yeah, I think we definitely will be looking to trade for a receiver before the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to. And I mean, unless something happens and all of a sudden, you know, we get Traquan back and he all of a sudden figures it out, but it seems very unlikely at this point.
We can't go the rest of the season only having Thomas, Ginn, Austin Carr, Deontay Harris, little Jordan Humphrey.
And little Jordan, yeah.
That's not gonna work.
No, it may do okay in the regular season. It's not gonna work in the playoffs.
Not at all.
So, and then our final tweet tonight from Trevor Bruno: overjoyed about the win, but was the O-line having a competition for who could get the most holding calls? And it's some of his communication, but come on. Yeah. Yeah, they weren't great.
I think McCoy won for the most holding calls last night. But it's becoming a problem. And halftime, the sideline reporter Michelle Tafoya, she obviously speaks to both head coaches. Mm-hmm. She said to Sean Payton, "What can you do to stop it?" And he said, "If I have to start taking players out of the game, I will start taking players out of the game." So he's obviously at halftime, really. Really, because we didn't give any away in the second half, I don't think. Not for holding, anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's clear that there's a problem with it, and it needs to get sorted, especially the longer Teddy plays.
Yep. And we're going to need him for Breeze, because we don't need Breeze getting hurt again.
You know? No, definitely not.
Right. So, all right. So, moving on from tweets, we will now move into pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win. Yeah. My game. Come on. My time. Yeah. What you got? You can't win. It's all about the game and how you play it.
Wasn't a great week for either myself or Jeff or even our guest picker Mike last week. I went 2-3. Jeff went 1-4. He submitted his picks to me on text. Yeah, and then Mike went 2-3. So after the 3 weeks of tabulations of the podcast host, I'm in first at 7-8, and Jeff is a whopping 4-11. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm not doing very well either, but wow.
Yeah. I mean, good news is we got a lot of season to make up for it, but not a great start. Not a great start. I mean, look, maybe Jeff had an excuse last week. I mean, he's off frolicking in the waves in Hawaii. So. But all right, on to this week's slate of games. And we actually have, we got our first London game of the year. The Oakland Raiders coming off a kind of surprising win at Indianapolis. They play the Bears in London, who it seems like are going to be led by Chase Daniel. So, do you know, is Ben going to the game? Do you know?
Ben has a season ticket for all of the London games, so he is going this weekend. Okay. So yeah, I'm just going to one game this year. I'm going to the Rams-Bengals game. That's the only one I'm doing this year.
All right. So, so Chicago looked pretty good and beat Minnesota this week. The defense continues to play lights out. The offense kind of looked pretty decent with Chase Daniel back there. So, I guess after the win, after Oakland's win, the spread might have moved a little bit because it does seem a little low. The Bears are only favored by 5.5.
I think the Bears will win by more than that.
Yeah, I just see the defense doing too much.
Yeah,
you know, against Oakland. All right, our next game, really interesting game here, and I hope it goes the way we want it to. The Jacksonville Minshews coming off that dramatic win in Denver. I mean, for all intents and purposes, Denver, you know, won the game, and then in the last minute, Minshew drove him down, got the field goal. Kind of crazy. And they travel to Carolina, play a Panthers team sitting at 2-2, coming off that win against Houston last week. This game is in Carolina, and they're favored by 3.5.
I think I'm going to have to take Carolina at home. Their defense is just really good.
Yeah, that's thinking with your head. That's thinking with your head. And this is a battle of the top two running backs taken in the 2017 draft, Fournette and McCaffrey. Fournette really rebounded last week because a lot of people were down on him, you know, posted a massive 200-yard game. I'm going to go ahead and say the Minshew carpet ride does not end yet. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
So the Saints are going to end the Minshew carpet ride then. That's what you're saying.
That's right. That's right. All right, our next game. This is the game of the week right here. There's a lot of early games this week and only two late games. This is the National Fox game. Two big franchises, the Green Bay Packers, coming off a loss Thursday night. The defense, which was, I don't know, supposedly one of the best defenses in the league, got torched by Philly last week. They travel to Dallas to play the reeling Cowboys, coming off that loss this week in the Dome. You can argue two of the top teams in the NFC so far through 4 weeks of the season. This game's in Dallas. Cowboys favored by 4.
Really? Okay. The team that loses this really kind of steps back from the race a little bit, I would suggest.
At least in terms of the bye, for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Cowboys at home.
God, do I believe in Dallas? I know Devontae Adams hurt his foot last week, so there's a chance he may not play this week. God, do I believe in Dallas? That's what it comes down to. Do I believe in Dallas?
You listen to our podcast. I know Aaron Rodgers to me is the most overrated quarterback in the NFL.
He is. He finally had a decent game, last week. But it's like when they lose, it's not his fault, you know. Everybody just kind of
never is. Never his fault.
Mm-hmm. Oh man,
you're really stuck on this one, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know if I believe in Dallas. You know, like yeah, they were 3-0, and there's a lot of talent on the defense, but the offense, they're decent, but. You know, I'm just not a believer in Dallas yet. So give me the Packers. Just not a believer. It's more just I'm not a believer in Dallas at this point. Now, if they win this week, okay, hey, maybe I'm a believer, but not yet.
That NFC East is going to be interesting between the Cowboys and the Eagles because neither of them are as good as everybody thinks they are.
Nope, definitely not. So, all right, our next game. Probably the best game on the board left. You got the Buffalo Bills coming off a loss. It was a close loss at home to New England, but a loss nonetheless. Josh Allen took a shot at the end of the game. So I don't know his status.
He's in concussion protocol.
Okay. So they traveled to Tennessee to play a Titans team. They're sitting there 2-2, coming off a nice win against the Falcons. I'm surprised the spread's not a full 3 points. Tennessee's only favored by 2.5. I know.
With Josh Allen, I would have taken the Bills, but I don't trust Matt Barkley. So give me the Titans.
I'm going to do the same. And this is all based on the QB. And it's not like Allen had a good game last week. He really had a bad game, threw a couple of bad interceptions. New England's defense is really good, and if it's Matt
Barkley, well, is there any reason why the New England defender didn't get ejected for that hit to the helmet on Josh Allen?
Because they're New England, I guess. I mean,
yeah. I mean, obviously, Burfict got his. I mean, that was just ridiculous.
He should be out of the league at this point. It's not like this is the first time he's done this.
He's been suspended for the season.
Yeah, I saw that, and he's gonna appeal. But you know, for a league that quote unquote we're all about player safety, bullshit. If that's the case, Burfict would not even be in the league right now.
No, not at all. But no, I give me the Titans in that one.
Yep. All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
You got the Arizona Cardinals sitting here at, I think, 0-3-1. It really could be winless. You know, you expect to struggle from a rookie quarterback and a young coach who never won at college, so why would he win in the NFL? They're still without Patrick Peterson for another two games, so their defense is atrocious. They travel to Cincinnati to play a Bengals team who, as of this recording, they still have to play tonight against Pittsburgh. So we don't know. They looked decent in Seattle in week one, but they've struggled the last couple of weeks. Did they win last week? I wish I had it in front of me.
They lost to Seattle. They lost to Buffalo. I know that. I'm not sure. But I'm going to take the Bengals at home.
I'm going to take the Bengals as well. Give me the home team, rookie quarterback, rookie coach coming in. I don't know that Cliff Kingsbury is that good as a head coach, so there's no way I'm taking him, especially on the road, as bad as Cincinnati. Yeah, and who knows? Cincinnati could go out and beat Pittsburgh pretty handily tonight, so who knows?
Yeah, Pittsburgh are a mess, aren't they? So that could be anything tonight, that.
Yep. So all right, that's your pick'ems. So tweet your pick'ems at the account. Jeff will be back to like and track them. I saw he did tweet out the current standings for everybody. I think Greenbaum's in first. I mean, I just know I'm not.
Yeah, I'm definitely not.
So now we'll get to our final segment, Saints Preview. So you got the Bucs coming in, riding a high of the last 2 weeks. You know, offense really playing well. Last week Winston had 4 TDs. Got a couple of good receivers coming in. You've got one of their defensive linemen. He's got a bunch of sacks already. And it always seems like, even though a lot of years were a lot better than Tampa, these games were always closer than they should. And then a lot of times we lay a dud and just get beat, like last year's week one, where Fitzmagic came in and just threw all over us. So I don't quite have the confidence that I would have maybe two weeks ago. I do think we're still a better team. You know, stop the run, and hopefully Lattimore and Apple can continue to play as well as they did this week.
They're going to need to. Any Bruce Arians coach team is going to throw the ball deep. It's what he's known for. The crucial part for me is going to be the defensive line putting the pressure on Winston, because we know how inaccurate he is, especially under pressure. If we can get to him quickly and early, then there is a chance that he could have one of his multiple interception games. Having seen their result this weekend and what they did to the Rams defense, it is a little bit concerning as to what they might do to us. But I just think we've got something going on at the moment defensively, and we're just going to maybe not shut them down, but we're going to hold them to enough points, which means that Teddy, who's probably playing against the worst defense he's played so far as a Saint, is going to actually have a much better game. You know, 250 to 300 yards passing, a couple of touchdowns. The big thing for me is getting pressure on Winston early. Don't let him settle.
Yeah, he will make mistakes. Continue to do what they've done. Stop the run. Make Winston pass. You know, he's going to complete some, but he's, like you said, you get to him, he's going to be inaccurate. He's going to throw his picks. The big thing to me is I just think the offense is going to have to score enough points. I don't think, even as good as our defense is going to play, I still think Tampa's going to put up probably in the 20s.
Yeah, we're going to need more than 12 points this week.
Yeah, we're going to need a good amount of points. So, you know, offensive line, just don't, you know, don't do whatever you've been doing, you know, because it's going to be impossible to win if they keep doing this. We're not going to be able to overcome it game after game after game. It's got to stop.
I mean, last season we went through a phase of, you know, four or five games where there was one or two penalties on the offense per game. We're getting that per drive at the moment, and that has just got to change.
And it's happened early in games too. So you can't get into any kind of rhythm. You can't. You're stuck, and then you know, if you fall behind, then you're stuck having to deviate from your game plan. So that's going to be a key. I'm excited that we get our first noon game. I've been waiting for this all season.
How do you think we feel over here?
No kidding. I mean, brutal.
I mean, it's a 6 p.m. game for us. So, you know, it'll be nice to, the game will be finished by 9 o'clock. I mean, so far we've had a Monday night game, which was 12:30. Then we've had 2 9:25 games, which will be 3:25 games for you. Don't finish till midnight. And then obviously last night was a 1:30 a.m. It was a 1:30 a.m. game. I mean, the only late game I think we've got now between now and the rest of the season is the Thanksgiving game.
Thanksgiving night, and then we have another Monday nighter against the Colts.
Indianapolis. Yes, yeah. We do. Yeah, we do. That is the game that I'm still trying to convince the wife to let me travel over for. I'm not winning at the moment, though.
Well, you got
close,
time.
It's too close to Christmas. That's the reason. It's too close to Christmas.
Okay. Well, you got time. You got time. So yeah, I'm just super excited to get back to kind of a regular routine of waking up early, getting down there early, having a nice early game, being home at, you know, 4:30 and being able to unwind. Now, I will say, last night wasn't too bad. We got out of there pretty quick. I mean, we stayed to the end, got out there pretty quick, and we were home by 11:15, which was a lot earlier than I thought. I just assume, you know, close to midnight. So
yeah, that was about the time I was waking up to watch the game was recorded.
So that'll be nice. You know, should be a good crowd, excited. So what's your score prediction for the game?
Saints 30, Tampa 23.
I'm going to go. I tell you what, I think we get another defensive touchdown this game. So I think that's going to push it to 34-24.
Okay.
I think that extra defensive touchdown is going to be the difference maker in the game. I think Winston's going to throw at least two picks.
Yeah.
That's what I'm anticipating. So hopefully the defense continues to win, get, you know, to do their thing. I mean, after the struggle of week one, and again, it's kind of crazy. You know, we suck for the first game or two of the season, and then somehow they figure it out. It's crazy.
It would actually be scary if we got it together for week one.
Right.
I mean, we've actually won in week one this year, which makes a huge difference. It's every year they seem to improve. I mean, two years ago, when Saints came over to London, they were 1-2 before they played the Dolphins, and then they won 20-0 over here at Wembley, and that was as dominant a defensive performance as I'd seen. And then for the rest of the year, the defense just got better, 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 better. Obviously, last year it started bad with the Tampa game and then slowly got better as the season wore on. Just start that good.
Right?
Look what the Patriots are doing.
Right. I mean, sounds easy enough, right?
Yeah.
So all right. So that'll be it for this week's show. Once again, I want to thank James for coming on. If you don't already, you can listen to their show, the UK Saints Podcast. I'll be looking forward to that. You guys are recording tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Okay. Looking forward to that as always. Any final thoughts?
No, nothing really. Just thank you for having me on. Always enjoy coming on the show. Makes a change not to be drunk whilst we're doing it. I think drunk podcasts are good fun. But, thank you very much for having me on. And hopefully it's something that we'll be able to do on our podcast to get you to come over onto ours. I mean, I know the time difference makes it a bit difficult for you to come onto ours, but I'm sure we can make an exception to do a later recording one time. But, hopefully many more to come.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, it's great when you have to host a show. It's crazy how much you don't want to get drunk.
Luckily, Ben does all our hosting, so I don't have to worry about that.
I say the same thing about Jeff. You know, I wouldn't want to host this full-time hosting gig for all. So,
well, you've done a sterling job in the 2 weeks he's been off.
Yeah, I'll try, but I can't wait till he comes back. So, all right. So that's it. Listen to us on our feed. You can do it the old-fashioned way, domepatrolpodcast.com. We're on all the, I'm sure, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, however you get your podcasts. I botched the ending, but I'll just go ahead and say bye-bye, donkeys.
Who dat?
Who dat?